From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, February 11th. Coming up, we'll learn how Illinois Theater has adapted the script and incorporated COVID protocols into their new production of The Whistleblower, opening tonight at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The case of missing Illinois State University student Jelani Day may result in a new law. Day's body was not found for 2 weeks after he went missing, or identified for 3 more weeks. State Senator L.G. Sims says he wants to require coroners and medical examiners to contact the FBI if a body remains unidentified for more than 3 days.
When you look at missing person cases, typically the first 72 hours are extremely important. So being able to get those resources in place, that were just critical to the overall success and getting families the help that they need.
Sims says the FBI would then work with the Illinois State Police. Sims went to ISU and says he sends his heart out to Day's family in Danville and the university. The city of Champaign has been working on equity and engagement for a long time. Now it has a whole department dedicated to these issues. Illinois Student Newsroom's Sydney Wood has more.
Gun violence has been increasing in Champaign. City Manager Dorothy Ann David says council members think they know why. She says unequal access to jobs, housing, and education creates inequalities that lead to gun violence. She says these issues mainly affect people of color.
So you can see correlations between disparities in our society, whether those are disparities of income, employment, housing access, education. The data that correlates those disparities with violence is clear.
By taking on these issues, David says the department could prevent shootings before they happen. Now it's ready to begin hiring. I'm Sydney Wood, Illinois Student Newsroom.
Habitat for Humanity of Champaign County has received the green light from the Urbana City Council to continue building houses for the community. Executive Director at Habitat for Humanity, Chad Hoffman, says Monday was an exciting day for the organization. He says nearly $200,000 in funding from the city will allow them to keep up with the rising costs of materials. Hoffman says building more homes for the community is impactful. He says one example is that home ownership can reduce crime interaction.
So we think home ownership is huge in terms of what we do. And without these funds, we wouldn't be able to build those homes.
The council also approved nearly $40,000 in operating funds for developers. Hoffman says building new homes for the community will benefit the new homeowners and the city as a whole. Still to come, a conversation with Genesee Spridko, the director of Illinois Theater's production of The Whistleblower. We'll learn more about this new adaptation opening tonight. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
The psychological thriller Vienna Blood has returned for a second season of mystery mixed with a bit of philosophy, science, and art. Dr. Max Lieberman and Detective Inspector Oscar Reinhardt solve 3 major mysteries during this season. Max's extraordinary skills of perception and Oscar's determination serve them well as they tackle cases involving a Hungarian countess, a foreign plot, and a monastery. You can stream the entire first and second season now as a friend of WILL. Learn how at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Illinois Theater's production of The Whistleblower opens tonight at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. It's an adaptation of the Henrik Ibsen play Enemy of the People, originally written in the 1880s. I spoke with the show's director, Genesee Spridko. She says this is a devised adaptation of Ibsen's work, which gives the actors more of a voice in creating their characters.
So in a usual theater production, there would be a playwright who writes it and then a producer who picks out that play, and then they hire a director and then they hire the actors, and the actor try to figure out what the playwright was intending. And in devising, what we do is the actor is the playwright. They are the producer. They are the director. So they have a hand in what the voice is and what is being shaped to be the story that is being presented. So I was more of a devising director for this project, in that I navigated these students that had some had never devised before, just to give them different ideas of ways that we could generate material. We spent about 2.5 weeks generating new characters, generating new material, writing, improvising. And then from there, we took the original script and the works that the students had created and melded them together to what we have today.
And it sounds to me like going through that process for someone in theater would certainly be very instructive. How do you see your students grow through that entire process?
Absolutely. I see students have a lot more advocacy for their perspective when they're able to, rather than receive the script and say, here are my lines, here are my blocking, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Instead, they're like, no, but what do I want to say? And it really empowers them to say, what are we seeing on stage right now? And what are we not seeing on stage yet that we need to give space and voice to? So I've been very excited to see these students be empowered to create their own work. But yeah, it's been a fascinating journey to appreciate the original work, to take the things from that original work that we found the most compelling. And also there's some problematic things just because it's written in the 1880s. And we're like, okay, so females don't have the greatest participatory roles in society right now. And it has a very binary, and it's Norway. So it has a very homogenic kind of feel that we wanted it neither to be binary nor homogenic. We really broke open gender and race when it came to creating our version of it.
Sure. Could you give me a couple of examples of how you went about doing that?
Absolutely. So originally, the doctor role is usually played by Dr. Stockman, who is a father figure, a paternal figure. And we flipped it over. We turned it maternal. And it also turns into a level of who are we? Does a female voice have as much impact in the space as a male voice and so forth? And looking at that investigation, we also, Hovsted is usually a role that would be male, and we flipped it to be female. We also have characters that use they, them pronouns and so forth. So, but it's ingrained in the world. So it isn't something that we're like trying to make a political statement or anything like that with it, but it is a statement that we say, no, this is where we are. This is what we're doing. And without any sort of waving an agenda of any sort with it.
One of the things you mentioned in your director's note in the program for this is that, you know, rather than having kind of two opposing forces like we often see in a story like this, you've kind of got three forces at work. You've got science, you've got politics, and you've got the media kind of with all their own agenda, their own desires through all of this. Talk a little bit about that dynamic and how it's just a lot more maybe complex than you'll see in some other stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, oftentimes when you're on the internet nowadays, it tends to be a very us versus them feel and being very tug of war feel. And when we come into the situation, it's much more complex in that there are allyships being made between media and politics. There are being allyships between media and science. And we see it mirrored even today is who are we listening to and who is getting projected as the truth and who is being, not listened to and things like that. And it's fascinating in this time and in this place where media itself is divided and we have different parts of media projecting certain aspects of different perspectives of the COVID situation. And different people are hearing only that perspective and hearing that tunnel. They think they know what the thing is, right? And so this really does look at the multifaceted complexity that is a town trying to navigate a health situation, but also one that could financially turn the whole town upside down.
Everybody who's performing in a COVID world, I think, has had to kind of adapt to a new reality, so to speak. You know, how has the pandemic just affected the way that you prepare for a production like this? Rehearsals, writing sessions, etc.
Yeah, we have had nearly somebody out on quarantine pretty much the entire rehearsal process. So we've had Zoom become a part of our collaborative opportunities to keep people abreast of what's going on in the rehearsal room, to give them an opportunity to give voice if they need to, if they have questions or so forth from afar, they can still hop in and be present to the rehearsal process, which is super important when it comes to devising. And We have some understudies that have been helping out quite a bit, jumping in from here and there. We're also really exploring what is safe distances for masking and unmasking. So we will have some actors that unmask during the show. They will always be 15 feet from the audience at those points. But it is also stylistically something that I've wanted to bring up is how the reveal of taking off a mask suddenly makes it a much more intimate and yet dangerous space, that we have a different relationship now when we see each other face to face without a mask on versus when we decide we're going to wear a mask, and what that non-verbally starts to say about our relationship with each other. There's certain people that start the show by being totally fine with being unmasked with each other, and by the end, they're not okay with being unmasked with each other, and how that changes their relationship based on their level of safety and their level of appreciation for the world. But we are using the masks as like another level of accessory, like we would with our gloves or our hats or our pocket watch. Our masks have become part of the costume.
That's Genesee Spridko, director of Illinois Theater's production of The Whistleblower. The show opens tonight at Krannert Center's Studio Theater. Tickets are available for purchase online only. You can get tickets and find more information at krannertcenter.com. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says cloudy and blustery with rain likely, especially this morning, and a high of 42 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Maggie Strawn, Sydney Wood, and Luis Velasquez. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.